Good morning and welcome to the Church of Conscious Harmony on this, the second Sunday of Easter. It's good to be together. And a special welcome to any guests or visitors who are here for the first time. I'd love to meet you after the service. We also have a welcome table that's on the other side of the bridge that you came in on. And one of our team members would be willing to answer any questions you have about the church. Just a couple announcements, and all these are in the bulletin. But we have a new yin yoga class that's occurring on Fridays. You can read about that or contact Dami at awakenheartaustin.org. And we also have a baptism class, which is for any of you, really, who would like to explore what baptism means or would like to explore getting baptized. If you've never been baptized. And you can read about that in the bulletin. The class begins May 5th, and there's a series of classes that follow. And it's a very sacred experience how we do it here at the church with a baptism in a nearby outdoor river. But do take a look at that if that intrigues you or you feel drawn to that. There is no fellowship after service today because we are having our annual congregational meeting. And I encourage you just to stay put after the service, and we'll begin as soon as we possibly can with the congregational meeting. And then, finally, one of the most extraordinary things, of the many, many extraordinary things this church does, what you all do, is called the Rite of Passage. And the Rite of Passage is for our graduating seniors in high school who are moving on into adulthood. And this Friday and Saturday, we had one of our own, Shannon Wallace. Why don't you stand up if you don't mind? She made the rite of passage into adulthood. And her mother, Patty, is here. And her father, David, and Anna are here. And we were all supporting you. And the youth team, the youth council that does this, I know blessed you very much. And you blessed them very much. So we welcome you and celebrate your life and wish you the fullness of goodness. Amen. Yeah. That's all the announcements I have. Let's take a moment in the silence and ask the Holy Spirit to bless each of us in worship today. What is it that you need to hear? What is on your heart? Where are you at with the mystery that is God? Amen.
Please stand for Gospel in One Word.
Love, 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 the gospel in one word is love. Love your neighbor as yourself. Love, love, love. Love, 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 the gospel.
Most gracious and loving Heavenly Father, Mother God, Creator of the heavens and the earth, we thank you for calling each of us here this morning, for awakening us with the gift of life, to discover again in our moments of surrender your everlasting undergirding presence. We ask that by the power of your Holy Spirit, through word and silence and sacrament, you would infuse in each of us a degree more of grace and goodness and kindness and gentleness and peace and love than when we came with, and send us home changed, transformed, never the same. We ask that the spiritual fruit would manifest in each of our lives, loved ones and families, with our colleagues, and in this city and in this world. For your glory and for our joy, we pray this in your most holy threefold name, our family name, God transcendent, God omnipresent, God immanent, the holy living Trinity. Amen.
Today's reading from John, chapter 20.
When it was evening on that day,
the first day of the week,
and the doors of the house where the
disciples had met were locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, then they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained. But Thomas, who was called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands, and put my finger in the mark of the nails, and my hand in his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were again in the house, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were shut, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Do not doubt, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe." Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that through believing you may have life in his name. May this reading nourish our journey deeper into wisdom and love.
I'm glad I have another scripture reading to read because of the audio quality on that was so distracting to me to hear it. And I'm sorry for that. The season of Easter is here and you're back. Thank you. You know, just three little words to build this time around. Life, light, and love. Life, light, and love. And it's going to start with just three principles and then end with an application, which will be more personal. And I think we'll open this idea up a little more for each of us. I suspect that all of us are like Thomas, doubting Thomas in that passage of Scripture. And there's a truth, probably, that none of us have seen the Lord. And yet we are blessed because we have this faith. And the word there was translated belief, but I like the word faith better, or consent is even better than faith. Because when we think of belief, it's usually up here. We think of ideas or things we believe. But faith is this deeper sense of consenting that involves trust. And I think it was Alan Watts who gave us the example of belief is like trying to grab at water when you're in the ocean, trying to grab at it. It just slips through your hands. Faith is just floating in the water. And it's a wonderful image of just consenting to let the water hold you up. You'll drown if you try and grasp at the water. But if you just surrender to it, it's a beautiful thing. And for most of us, you don't get very far in life without a surrender into some sort of faith in something. And that's really typical. Even if it's faith in yourself, we all are having faith in something or someone. So what I want to get at is this invitation to a deeper kind of experiential faith that is more akin to intimate knowing, that is more like the knowing you have with the beloved, that you can trust them and give yourself to them, that you can open up to them and feel loved, safe, welcome, understood. That, to me, is really what the spiritual journey is teaching us to do through the phases of developmental phases of life, just continuing to open and be opened to God's love and be transformed by that love. So I want to read the second passage, which is called the Emmaus, Walk to Emmaus. It's taken from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 24. And it answers the question of how we, well, I think it answers the question, one way of answering the question, of how we can know the Lord, how we can know God, how we can experience God without ever seeing the risen, resurrected Christ, so to speak, like these people did. Without these mystical experiences, you know, we have our day-to-day faith and perception of what God's doing in our lives. And we go sometimes for very long periods without feeling or sensing God's presence or action in our life, and that's very normal. So listen to this story, and then I'll develop those three principles in one application. Now at that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem, and talking with each other about all these things that had happened, the Holy Week events in Jerusalem. While they were talking and discussing, Jesus himself came near and went with them, but their eyes were kept from recognizing him. And yesterday in Scriptorum, I shared that that word really means that they were asleep, that they were heavy with eyes. And that, what is that? When you're asleep. So that's an interesting connection in our community where we say that sin is essentially sleep, that we're just all asleep. And Jesus said to them, "What are you discussing with each other while you walk along?" They stood still, looking sad. Then one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answered him, "Are you the only stranger in Jerusalem who does not know the things that have taken place there in these days?" And Jesus asked them, "What things?" And they replied, "The things about Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet, mighty indeed, and word before God and all the people, and how our chief priests and leaders handed him over to be condemned to death and crucified. But we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel." It's a really important statement. "But we had hoped." Let you know, in on an emotional moment that we'll come back to. That we had hoped that he would do something for us, that he would redeem Israel from Rome, the occupying force. "Yes, and besides all this, it is now the third day since these things took place. Moreover, some women of our group astounded us. They were at the tomb early this morning, and when they did not find his body there, they came back and told us that they had indeed seen a vision of angels who said that he was alive. Some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but they did not see him." So you notice the guys that Jesus is talking with here on the walking on the Emmaus Road, they hadn't seen Jesus. They had heard it second and third, maybe fourth hand. So they're kind of left out of the loop. They're just talking gossip. "Then he said to them, 'Oh, how foolish you are, and how slow of heart,'" slow of heart, it's a slow emotional center, "'to believe, to consent, to understand,'" really the word is understand, "'to understand all that these prophets have declared. Was it not necessary that the Messiah should suffer these things and then enter into his glory? Then, beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them the things about himself in all the scriptures." Listen to that. Moses, prophets, and all the scriptures. "As they came near the village to which they were going, he walked ahead as if they were going on. But they urged him strongly, saying, 'Stay with us, because it is almost evening and the day is now nearly over.' So Jesus went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took bread, blessed, and broke it, and gave it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he vanished from their sight. They said to each other, 'Were not our hearts burning within us?'" Higher emotional center there. "Were not our hearts kindled within us while he was talking to us on the road, while he was opening the scriptures to us?" Notice the connection to that B influence. The B influence quickened their heart and their emotional center. That same hour they got up and returned to Jerusalem, and they found the 11, their companions, the 12 disciples, gathered together, minus Judas. They were saying, "The Lord has risen indeed, and he has appeared to Simon." Then they told what had happened on the Emmaus Road, and how he had been made known to them in the breaking of the bread. This is the Eucharist. So it's a beautiful story that teaches us some principles, and I gather an application from it. If you remember last Sunday, Easter Sunday, and Good Friday, I suggested that death changes us forever. If you remember that, that death changes us forever. And then I said on Sunday, Easter Sunday, that life is for the living. And these are two beautiful principles to hold on to, even if you don't understand or believe any of the content of the Christian gospel that we've been reading about, these events, even if it makes no sense to you, you can agree with those two principles, I suspect, that death changes us forever and that life is for the living. Today, the third little phrase to hold on to is that faith becomes more real when everything falls apart. And faith stitches us back together in a new way. That faith becomes more real when everything is falling apart. And faith stitches us back together. It's faith. It's faith that's going to do that. And it does it all the time. And so here are the first three principles around life, light, and love. First principle. Christianity, whatever you think of it, is unlike many other religions of the world. All the religions of the world are similar and unique. But Christianity is very unique in that it is built upon a story of transformation, of turning an event of profound torture and suffering into something of great joy and undying life. Turning suffering and death into something that is undying life. And that's the core of Christianity. The transformation of suffering into glory. The transformation into darkness into light. The transformation into the cross into the resurrection. And the theme is so universal and so profound in music and drama and culture, in our own day-to-day experiences, that we can hook up to it and, as it were, draft from this power, from this event, as a template for living our life with the faith that our suffering will be transformed into undying new life. That's the first principle. Second principle around light. And this is just drawn right from that passage of Scripture. Now when Jesus said he was taking them through Moses, the prophets, and the writings, he was talking about the Jewish Torah, the Jewish scrolls, the Jewish Bible. The New Testament had never even been conceived at that moment. Jesus was referring to the Jewish Bible. So here's something to ponder. That sacred Jewish scripture is a means for understanding spiritual reality in a deeper way than we might realize. That the sacred writings of the Hebrew scriptures have hidden truths that we can discover and that will edify us and teach us things at a spiritual level. And the Kabbalists know this, so do the Jewish faithful who read the Torah with such devotion, that the scriptures are embedded with an influence that can do something to us, especially when it's dovetailed with an awake or wise teacher, as Jesus was. So there's something about the teaching through the scriptures that awakens people, that opens people, that deepens people's faith, our faith. Our understanding. So Christianity, segments of Christianity, is the only religion I'm aware of in the world that disparages its own sacred writings, that throws it out, and that so many people, so many of us, have difficulties with the Bible. Well, one might say, the Bible is very difficult. And it is. There's many difficult passages to understand. And there is deep spiritual reality in these scriptures that can be useful for us. So it's an invitation to say, hey, what's your relationship to the light that comes through your own study of the scriptures? If you wish your heart to be enkindled and move to a deeper, fuller place of whatever that burning heart was, what's your relationship to your scriptures? And what's your relationship to any teaching on the scriptures? You might ponder that. And, you know, esoteric communities are wonderful, and there are 1,000 books to read. And there are 1,000 paths and rabbit holes to go down, a million of paths and rabbit holes to go down. But why not stand on a foundation that has tried and found true over the course of time? You might find that the scriptures are very life-giving to you in a new way. That's the second principle, that the light that comes through the scripture as we listen to it. And then the third thing is about love. And this is really profound, I think, and that is that a living presence is revealed through the story of resurrection. Whatever you might think of what happened or believe or not believe in the resurrection, if you take this story seriously at its simplest level of expression, that a loving presence was revealed to them, in contrast to a system of ideas or dogma or doctrines. It was a person, a personal presence, an encounter of a very loving nature that infused them so that their hearts were enkindled, and they recognized this presence in the breaking of the bread. And this is very, very important, that we can get lost in dogma and doctrine and ideas and up in the head and miss the love of the presence that is pure mystery. Now, obviously, for you and for me, the Lord doesn't come along and walk alongside of us like this story reveals. But the silence becomes a presence, more so than any physical presence sometimes. The Eucharist becomes a presence. Other people become that vessel of presence for us. Nature becomes that presence to us. So really, this invitation of moving the transformation of our suffering into glory and life, light that comes from the study of Scripture, ultimately leads to this heart-opening love of being in relationship to capital P presence. That we name the Lord, that we name the risen Christ, that we name love. And I find this scripture to give us these three principles in a very significant way. And here's the final thing, the application. And this is very personal for me, because I'm in real time, hitting rock bottom in my life. Real time. And that phrase comes from the AA community, as far as I can tell. And that so much of one's recovery, one's transformation, one's faith that one can be better, one can experience a victory, comes down to the need, the essential need, to hit rock bottom. And life probably is going to do that for most of us in some way. It will lead us to these rock bottoms. And probably it's an up and a down, not just one rock bottom. But I think for some of us, there really is that one rock bottom. The rock bottom that there is no other thing deeper than that rock bottom. And so the principle here that we move into an application with from this story of the Emmaus Road is that at some level, this little Jewish community that had placed its hope in this rising star named Jesus, who had done profound things to people. The rumors were extraordinary if they could be believed. The teaching was illuminating wisdom. And this little oppressed, suffering community, where 99% of them were suffering under massive taxes and political oppression and the fear of death and scourging by a very powerful empire called Rome. And this little tiny persecuted community that had faith, faith that God long ago had said to Abraham, "You're mine. You belong to me. I'm going to do something with your family lineage." And this tossed around, persecuted little group of people had hope that maybe, just maybe, this guy Jesus would help them. And they had hope. And they had seen it completely dashed. They had hit a rock bottom. Not only did they kill our Lord, this one hope we had, his body's gone. We don't know what's gone, going on. So there's a rock bottom moment there. And so, for me, if you are experiencing discouragement, if you are losing hope, if you feel lonely, if you feel like a failure, if you feel left out, if you feel forgotten, this is a story for all of us who are hitting bottom. It's a story that leads us to ask a question. What needs to be revealed? What do I need to see? They needed to see Christ revealed in the breaking of the bread. What do I need to see? What do you need to see? If you've hit rock bottom. These principles that God uses suffering and death to transform us, that there is light coming through the scriptures, don't ignore them. Light that leads to a spiritual wisdom that opens our emotions and feeds us with a warmth that consumes us, and that leads us into an encounter with a loving presence that we may not completely understand, but we can feel. These are intimations, brothers and sisters, of what Christianity is offering the world and what the Eucharist continues to stand for in our community. That dogma, doctrine, ideas play a role, but it's this encounter with presence that reveals so much of ourself to ourself. Thank you for listening. Let's stand and give our hearts to song. Never. Now's the time in our service where we take our tithes, gifts, and offerings into our hands and remember a profound truth that God's love has always met and will always meet all my needs. I give freely and I receive joyfully. Let's remember this truth together. God's love has always met and will always meet all my needs. I give freely and receive joyfully. And how blessed we are to simply remember God. Thank you, with complete gratitude, we dedicate these tithes, gifts, and offerings to the victory of consciously chosen love in each of our lives and on this planet over the lie of separation and our useless acting out from fear. May we recognize you as the source of all life and honor you by living our life to the fullest extent possible. We pray this in Christ. Amen.
I am world sees, I am forever. You are forever in me. We live together in eternity. I sent a sign.
Let us rest together in the silence for 10 minutes of centering prayer, which is a contemplative way of consenting to God's love, presence, and action in our lives. Please join in praying. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory, now and forever. Amen.
We come to the table to see what we see. Let us pray. Abba, we thank you that we know you hear us now, and that we know you always hear us. It's you who are giving us words, you who are teaching us to pray, and you who are giving us faith to pray in, that lets us know and be certain that you always hear and answer when we ask. Abba, we ask. Pour out your Spirit on these elements, that we may recognize them, receive them, and respond to them as the body and the blood of your Son, the living Christ. Let them communicate his body to our bodies and his blood to our blood. Fill us with your Holy Spirit, Lord, and transform us in your love. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. During supper on the night he was betrayed, Jesus took bread, and having said the blessing, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take this, all of you, and eat it. This is my body, which shall be given up for you." This is the body of Christ. When supper was ended, he took the cup, and again he gave God thanks and praise. He gave it to his disciples, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. This is the cup of my blood, the blood of the new and everlasting covenant. It will be shed for you and for all for the forgiveness of sin. Whenever you do this, remember me." This is the blood of Christ.
You alone can satisfy our hunger. You are the bread of life. You alone can satisfy our thirst. You are the water of life.
Thank you.
Living and eternal Christ, we feel your risen presence as the very life that pervades and yet transcends our bodies and our minds. We realize you are the way and the truth, and we're grateful to share in your body and your blood. May our participation in these divine mysteries transform us into one in your mystical body, the true body of Christ. For the glory of God our Father, for the glory of God's kingdom here on earth, and so that our joy may be complete. We pray this in your most holy and precious name. Amen. Let's stand and conclude with song. The love of God, the grace of that Christ, and the peace of the Holy Spirit be with each of us until we meet again. Amen.